This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And another candidate interview today. We're talking to Arleon Noble, a Libertarian candidate for governor of Oregon. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
And even came down on a motorcycle.
I did. That was so much fun.
All right. So tell us a little bit about your background, your career, some of the things you've done.
And well, you know, I've had a lot of interaction with government, not as government, but because I do things like I've been in contracting work and built roads and done quite a bit with soil and water conservation districts. So I'm very familiar with how things can go badly. And I think that should change. So that's one of the many reasons that I'm running, is that we need to change what we're doing. My background, is when I went to college, it was theatrical design and technology. We learned how to do just the insanely impossible things and create something out of nothing. We built the box that we sat in to think, and I've just had that kind of approach ever since.
So where'd you go to college at?
I went to Idaho State for that part of my life. I've also been to I've done some college at Blue Mountain Community College, and it's BYU Idaho now. I have a couple of credits from there and a couple of credits from Oregon Coast Community College.
So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Pendleton.
And talk about how you got interested in politics to begin with.
Well, I was politically homeless for a number of years and decided that nobody was really interested in representing me until a vice presidential candidate named Spike Cohen came to town. He came to Eugene in September of 2020, and I wanted to hear what he had to say and volunteered to act as a security team for him. So I'm standing there in Eugene and Alton Baker Park, and I'm the sacrificial target, as it were. So I'm the one who looks like he's armed and looks like he's prepared, and therefore that's the one that if something's going to happen, I'm the one they're going to focus on. And as I sat there and did what I was supposed to do, my head started nodding more and more, and by the end of the day, I was looking really, really hard at the platform for the Libertarian Party for the first time. In my life, I had actually decided that I needed to look at a party and consciously join a party.
Interesting. And that's probably a unique vantage point, too, being very close to the stage and watching the crowd and the reaction as well.
Well, I was actually standing off the side and behind everybody.
Ah, okay.
Because the goal is to get them to turn away from your candidate. So, It was really interesting because I kind of went 0 to 60 in half a second. I went from politically homeless and kind of apolitical to member of the party and running for governor in like 3 weeks.
Wow. Yeah. So, that's a quick shift. What was it about what he said that really got your attention?
Well, it wasn't so much what he said until he got into... A lot of things that he was saying was that we needed a much smaller government. The government as it is far too interested in itself and not interested enough in what the people say. And we're seeing that a lot. We have a lot of laws on the books that have nothing to do with anything other than the guy who had an axe to grind decided to go grind his axe. And he didn't listen to anybody else. It didn't matter to him or her if what the end result was going to be, as long as he got his goal met.
How would you define the Libertarian Party overall?
In a nutshell, when you go look at it, we basically don't want to hurt anybody. The idea is. We have this thing called non-aggression principle, where it's literally don't cause people harm consciously. But if you had to put the party in a nutshell, it's take over the world and leave everyone alone. It's kind of a running joke with us because if you're going to do that, what's the point of doing that? At the same time, that's exactly what we need. We need to be left alone. Our world would be significantly better if we did not have someone trying to tell us that what we can do and what we can't do on a daily basis.
So do you put the party, I mean, compared to Democrats and Republicans, is there a directional shift that you would say the libertarians are? It seems like it might be a little harder to define.
Well, it is on the typical spectrum of left and right. But if you add authoritarian versus libertarian, it's more of a triangle, and we are the third point in the triangle. We are against the government telling people what to do, but we're battling organizations that are literally left and right, but totally willing to use the government to get what they want and tell people what to do. So the authoritarian versus libertarian concept is pretty, you know, is another XY on the axis, you know, X versus Y on the axis. And it kind of gets, it can even get a little more interesting, because if you go very far left, you end up becoming less authoritarian. And if you go very far right, you become less authoritarian. So it kind of stretches itself into a diamond as you sit there and look at it really hard.
In Oregon, what's the interest level? I mean, how many people are libertarian? Do you see that gaining?
The concept of being a libertarian is actually probably a lot bigger than people realize, because as we go through things like the last few years, we see government overstepping its boundaries, and more people are pushing back against that. Eventually, it's going to, you know, we're going to be in an all-out drag-out fight over what our rights are and whether or not government has the right to tell us what our rights are. And we have it in our Constitution that our rights are not enumerated in our Constitution, in our state Constitution. So we have a number of laws on the books that are patently unconstitutional. They're 100% unconstitutional. We have a number of measures. There's four measures on the ballot for the state that every single one of them breach the state and or federal constitution in some manner. And I expect that if any of those pass, they'll all be challenged.
So what are the top issues that you're focusing on in your campaign?
My biggest problem right now is safety and security, and I think that that's a thing that most people are concerned about. Safety and security, well, all of these are connected. Everything that I'm looking at is, I see everything is connected. Without safety and security, we don't have our liberty and equality. And you cannot trade safety and security for your liberty. It doesn't work. You have to have both, or you deserve neither. From that point, we're talking about liberty and equality. We don't get equity, we get equality. Everybody gets the same start. The finish depends completely on you. And we need to be free to do so. We need to be free to make the decisions that give us the equality that we want to have. And then the last one is our economy. And without the first two, our economy is going to suffer a lot. We're going to see higher gas prices. We're going to see more inflation. We're going to see destruction of our economy as we see it currently happening, to the point where we can't keep our businesses open and we can't maintain our world. And that becomes a problem.
So what would your priorities be if you were elected? Let's talk about, for instance, the state budget.
Well, the state budget's far too high. It needs to be cut down to about a quarter of what it is. If we have to take more money out of our people's pockets to pay for things, we need to figure out how a different way to pay for them and whether or not they're really necessary, especially since the things that are necessary are not getting handled. I know, you know, when you're driving a motorcycle, you get to feel a few more potholes. If you hit them, they do a lot more to move you than if you're in a bigger, tired vehicle. And I found a couple, and they rattled you pretty good when you're on a motorcycle. If those potholes aren't handled, it makes them worse. They break down over time. Now we're getting into the colder months. I was looking at a couple of holes, and I was just looking at them going, okay, well, as soon as that freezes, that'll be twice the size. when now the water's in there, it's gonna stay, and there's nothing you can do to stop that except repairing it. We're not seeing repairs. I live over on the coast, outside of Newport, on 101. There's the Beverly Beach section. It's about 4 miles long. It's an active landslide. For some reason, we built a road on top of it. It's moving. They went and spent a couple $100,000 fixing it. And a week later, it was cracked again and sliding downhill again. What they did is they added a bunch of weight to an active landslide. So the solutions aren't forthcoming. And we're nickel and diming ourselves to death on some stuff. If 101 goes, there is no north-south communication and north-south transportation to a lot of those communities. There is no secondary artery. We don't have 99 and I-5. We have 101. That's it. So it'll take 4 hours for you to get from Newport to Lincoln City if that section goes. It's not a good situation to be in.
We're going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Our Leon Noble, Libertarian candidate for governor of Oregon. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show coming up at 4 on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Democratic nominee for Congressional District number 2 in Oregon, which now includes more of Douglas County, Joe Yetter will be in studio to talk about his campaign. Our Leon Noble, Libertarian candidate for governor, on with us right now, going through some of the issues. What about working with the legislature? What would you be doing to lead the state in that regard?
Well, that's the fun part. The role of the governor is not to lead. It's to balance the legislature versus the people. If the people are speaking and the legislature isn't listening and they're passing bad law, which we've seen happening consistently through the years, then the governor needs to be the stopping point. They're the last straw, and it needs to, you know, at this point, I'm pretty convinced that if it's not being referred to the voters, it's not something that they want. So everything that needs to happen needs to end with this is being referred to the voters. It needs to be put on the next ballot. It needs to be given a chance for the people to speak directly on that subject. We saw this. The other thing is anytime I see emergency clause being used, I think that needs to go away. We should be not using the emergency clause. Nothing is that urgent that it can't wait for a court contest. I'm sorry, it's just not that way. If it is that urgent, we should have planned for it. We should have been able to see that coming.
What are the biggest changes you'd like to see to state government?
The size of state government is ridiculous. We've got things that are happening in all the wrong places. We have nobody in the unemployment. We do have them, but in comparison, there's almost nobody in unemployment. Yet that is the number one problem that we're having right now, is that people are dealing with unemployment. We have far too many organizations that can be used to be weaponized against people. OLCC and OHA have been weaponized against people in the last couple of years and prevented people from making a living. And that's wrong. We need them to make a living so that they can be productive members of society. And then we don't need as big of an unemployment department if we have that dealt with.
Let's run through some other issues. What about education and the state role in public education?
The state role, it needs to be significantly reduced. That education needs to be done at the parent and teacher level. The parent and student level even would be even better. We should stop funding the schools themselves directly. We should fund the students and let the students go fund the schools. By doing so, we would end up with better teachers. We would have better opportunities for education to progress, and we would be able to change the factory schools into effective schools.
Let's talk about the environment and timber management. What are your thoughts there?
we're not doing a very good job with our timber management. If it's going up in smoke, it's not doing us any good. We should change our policies on that. I have seen that that there is a requirement to cut one. When you cut one tree down, you have to plant three. And I'm not sure that three is the right number. Maybe two would be a better number. I understand there's some attrition, but we're packing our forests in a little too much, and I'm concerned that we have disease and infestation being transmitted to trees too quickly.
What about the state's infrastructure? We've got a lot of bridges, roads, things like that that were, in many cases, built 40, 50 years ago, and it seems like a lot of things need to be addressed right now.
Yes, it does. And the reason it does is because instead of focusing on the correct things, we've had a government that's focusing on the wrong things. So it needs to change as well. And I don't have a significant answer for that today, but I think that if we go talk to the people, that they might be able to provide us an answer.
Now, as governor, how would you interface with the federal level?
Well, the federal level, let's start here. I will not allow our National Guardsmen to be used as cannon fodder for illegal wars. I saw the ramifications after Mustang 22 went down in Afghanistan, and the city of Pendleton is still recovering from that 20-some-odd years later. The ridiculousness of utilizing our National Guardsmen to be political pawns is just dumb, and I don't know why that was allowed at any level. It shouldn't have ever happened. Instead, our National Guardsmen were repeatedly sent to foreign soil to fight and die in wars that should never have happened.
Now, being in a minor party, how do you work with Democrats and Republicans?
Well, that's the fun part. They have to speak first. In some cases, they don't want to talk to us. If they're not willing to communicate, it's not on us to force that. We come up with good ideas, and if they don't want to buy into the good ideas, a good idea doesn't require force. If we're coming back to that axe grinding thing. If they've got an axe to grind and we come up with a good idea and we publicize the good idea, eventually it'll happen regardless of whether or not politicians want it to happen.
What's the response to your campaign been? What have you been hearing from people?
The number one thing is, where have you been? How come we haven't heard of you? And the reason is because I haven't been asking people for money. So setoregonfree.com is the place for you to go and see where all of those things are at. And you can see that I have developed my platform using law and the Oregon State Constitution, and not just pulled it out of thin air and made promises that I couldn't keep. So the one thing that I've noticed about this as far as the campaign goes is that if you're not asking people for money, you can't spend any money. And my problem with spending the money that other people provide is that it's not fiscally responsible to take money from other people and spend it on a fleeting thing for a volunteer position that has basically a $90,000 a year stipend.
All right, we are out of time. A lot more things we could cover. Our Leon Noble, Libertarian candidate for governor, thanks for coming in.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you very much.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.